News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Thanksgiving travel has rebounded from the pandemic. A record 80 million expected to fly and drive this holiday weekend. And after the turkey feast, early bird shoppers will pivot to Black Friday sales. Retailers banking on the season.
The five-day period that includes Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and Cyber Monday has been dubbed Cyber Week. And Adobe Analytics expects $40.6 billion to be spent over that time. That's up 7% from last year. Of the 18 categories tracked by Adobe, discounts for electronics are expected to be the highest at about 30%. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Displaced civilians returning to homes for the first time in southern Lebanon after the ceasefire between Israel, Lebanon, and Hezbollah took effect. So far, the pause in fighting is holding. Authorities say members of President-elect Trump's transition team, nominees, and appointees have been the latest target of false bomb threats known as swatting, triggering a police response. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
4 WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Republican Donald Trump's support has grown broadly since he last sought the presidency. In his defeat of Democrat Kamala Harris, Trump won a bigger percentage of the vote in each one of the 50 states and Washington, D.C. than he did 4 years ago. According to an Associated Press analysis, he won more actual votes than in 2020 in 40 states. Even with turnout lower, Trump received 2.5 million more votes than he did in 2020. Trump cut into places where Harris needed to overperform to win a close election, especially in swing state metropolitan areas that have been Democrats' winning electoral strongholds. Now Democrats are weighing how to regain traction ahead of the midterm elections in 2 years. UW-Madison has jumped up in research rankings. 4 years it was number 8 on the list of universities that spent the most on research, but now it's number 6. That's because it has $1.7 billion in research expenditures. About half of that came from federal grants and awards. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced $400,000 has been designated to construct a new facility for the City of New Lisbon's Law Enforcement Department. The new facility will reduce safety risk posed by the current century-old building, upgrade infrastructure, and improve efficiency. The funding comes through the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Community Facilities Grant Program. The new facility will feature designated areas for offices of the police chief, administrative assistant, and officers to ensure the safety of both law enforcement and officials and civilians entering and exiting the building. It will also include a waiting room, break room, interrogation room, evidence and evidence storage rooms, armory, storage spaces, training area, bathroom areas, and a drive-through squad bay. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks win in Miami. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 106-103 victory over the Heat. Just before the game, Giannis had to drop out with a swollen knee. Guard Damian Lillard.
They said he wasn't going to be in the lineup. I needed to come out and be in attack mode and just try to make things happen and just have that energy.
Lillard led with 37 points, 12 assists. The Bucks now 9-9. NFL, it's the Packers and the Dolphins tomorrow night. The forecast for Green Bay, cloudy, windy. What's it like playing quarterback? In the cold, Jordan Love.
In the cold? I don't mind. I mean, it is what it is. You know, being here in Green Bay, it's going to be cold, and you got to go out there and play whatever the conditions might be. So playing here, we practice in the weather every day in the cold, especially a team coming from Miami. You know, I'll take that any day.
It was sunny and 81 in Miami, so how do you get a team ready for 25 degrees at Lambeau?
I was just going to carry ice cubes in my pockets and throw them at players all week.
That's the Dolphins head coach, Mike McDaniel. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today with highs in the mid-30s. As more clouds build in tonight, temperatures fall to near 20. And for tomorrow, winds start to whip, creating blustery wind chills. Highs won't climb above freezing tomorrow. And they slide to highs struggling to hit 20 for the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going
yes.
to get yes. them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I have an all-star lineup of John Legend, Jenny Slate, Adam Brody, and the one and only John Grise, also known as Uncle Rico. And I'm joined by musical guest Eric Ratzak from Ask Your Mother and Eric Jellin from Mascot Theory.
Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Thanksgiving Eve. I'm so looking forward to this holiday. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And in honor of this annual tradition, I am very excited to celebrate the second annual Maggie Dawn Show Festivus for Thanksgiving with my good friend, Dan Terrio. Dan, welcome back to the show for our second Thanksgiving celebration.
Wow. Thanks for having me back. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. We're going to talk about the importance of observing Native American culture and heritage in this month. Yep. We're going to answer the question that every non-First Nation person wants to know is, do Native Americans celebrate Thanksgiving? And we're going to talk about some of the stereotypes. We're going to break all that down. And we're going to have a ton of fun with each and every one of you. We're going to be talking about our favorite Thanksgiving traditions. Yep. We're going to talk about some of our favorite holiday films to kick off this holiday season. We might talk a little deep-fried turkey at the Packers tailgate tactics. All those good things.
I'm thinking about it right now.
I know.
I'm not having deep fried turkey. I wish I was,
right.
But you know, I'm not thinking about it.
We might even talk a little turducken. Who knows what will come up. Folks, if you're going to have great stories or recipes or memories to share, turkey tactics, if you know the difference between stuffing and dressing, we're going to get to all of that, y'all. We're going to have a good time. Yes,
there's a difference
between stuffing and dressing. Yes, there is.
Mind is officially blown.
Blown.
Wow.
Thank you so much for tuning in to celebrate this time together, everybody. It's certainly a privilege to have you joining us again on this Thanksgiving Eve. If you are on the road and traveling to see loved ones, please take your time. There's a lot of traffic out there. You'll get where you're getting when you get there. Trust me, the hot toddies, the brandy old-fashioned sweets, the Miller Lights, whatever your beverage of choice, they will still be there.
You can't have that if you're dead.
Yes, that's right. Slow on down, y'all. You will get there when you get there, when you get there.
Yep.
One little reminder, the Deer Hunters Roundup, which has been a Northwoods tradition on Wisconsin radio for near 50 years, been hosted by Joel Karnack for 25 years, which is just incredible. It's a download of what is what, all of the fun buzzwords and code talking that occurs between hunters. You're going to find it on the Deer Hunters Roundup each night during the hunt from 6 to 8 p.m., including this evening. You can find that roundup on WCQN, WHSM, WIRI, and of course, on the Civic Media app for free. The gift that keeps on giving and costs you nothing but gives so much great conversation and real news to all your friends and family. Do check out that Deer Hunters Roundup. I might give it a listen. I'll be doing maybe a little cooking and cleaning this afternoon. Maybe I'll turn on a little Deer Hunters Roundup and learn a couple of two, three things.
I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued.
Super intrigued. Dan and I will be checking it out. We'll be commenting, asking Joel novice questions. Have you ever been deer hunting, Dan?
I haven't.
I have.
I ran over a squirrel as a kid and I mm-hmm. cried. I don't mm-hmm. know how I would be able to handle shooting a deer.
Okay, so Dan's out for the deer.
I will eat venison, though.
Yes, delicious.
Bring it to me. Yes. I will eat it. I won't kill it.
Yes, you did not for the field dressing. No, not that kind of dressing. No. Not that kind of stuffing either. Yes, I have been in a deer stand for a number of hours in my past.
See, I don't like being cold.
And well, you know, you get the hot packets that you like crack and then they turn hot. You get those in the boots and the gloves.
But then you get too warm.
Well, there that can happen. You balance it out, you know, with the hot packs and then of course alcohol as a depressant. It's why I don't handle firearms whenever I have a drink. Like I will leave the hunting to everyone else.
That's another fun fact too. I've never shot a gun before.
I have. I actually enjoyed doing target shooting with a bow and arrow more.
Bow and arrow.
It was like much more physically satisfying to me. Handguns freaked me out a lot when I've gone to gun ranges. I have really enjoyed like long range rifle shooting because you have to manage all of your physiology if you want to hit the targets. So you're breathing and your heart rate and you really have to line it up. I've been a few times shooting and as a sport, I find it absolutely captivating and fascinating. Like it really requires a lot of different skills. I've also been duck hunting and sat in a duck blind for a long time. And you sort of, I drank past the coldness. That's what I had to do. And in any case, folks, if you're just joining us, that is the voice of my good friend, Dan Terrio. He is a social justice scholar, a community activist, an educator, and a fabulous public speaker. He's done a TED Talk. The link to some of Dan's writing and his TED Talks we're going to put in the show notes from today. You're going to want to check that out. And I brought Dan here not only because he's a good friend, but also because Dan is an enrolled member of the Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians of North Central Wisconsin. You have been involved in your tribal educational outreach and leadership since you were a kid, basically, a 13-year-old kid. And in your profession as a human resources professional, you also work in the diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging space.
Yes.
So I could think of no one better than Dan Terrio to talk with us about issues surrounding the holiday specifically, but especially Native American traditions and culture here in the state of Wisconsin, where we have how many tribes have claim or identify as originating in some way from the Wisconsin area?
So it depends on if you have federal recognition versus state recognition.
Yes.
So it's 11 federally recognized tribes, 12 state recognized tribes. So the Brothertown Indian tribe
is the
one that is not federally recognized, but is state recognized and going through that. So it depends on how you look at it.
Well, the federal recognition process is extraordinarily lengthy.
Yes.
Takes a long, long time. Listen, if you've got questions or comments for Dan or I during this first hour, we're going to talk about some of these traditions, talk about why understanding Native American heritage is important. We're even going to talk about the language because different folks from your traditions identify differently, how it's important not to get captured by language, that we just plunge ahead and have these discussions. We're going to do all of that this first hour. If you want to join our conversation, we want you to. If you're thinking about it, don't think about it. Just pick up the phone and text or call 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I thought we could start here, Dan. Now, you're a native of Bowler, Wisconsin. You live now in Milwaukee. Yep. But again, you've been an enrolled member of the Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians of North Central Wisconsin since birth. And you noted, you gave me some statistics, and I thought we'd just start here as a baseline. There is 9.7 million people in the United States identify as American Indian or Alaska Native. And 13% of those nearly 10 million folks live on tribal lands, according to the 2020 census. It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Just over 10% living on tribal land. So most of the folks that identify as Native American, or using the nomenclature of the United States government, American Indians still. that is not my languaging. Yeah. That is the U.S. government still. Just a small proportion live on tribal lands. So first of all, what does it mean to be an enrolled member of a tribe?
I think it's what connects me to my culture. Like, mm-hmm. if someone is Irish, Italian, German, African American, Asian American, I mean, the list can really go on. It's the thing that connects me to my ancestors and my history and whatnot, and really allows me to really recognize the footing that I have now in this space and, yes. and the journey that it took to get here. But I think, you know, from a membership standpoint, I think it's really important to call this out, that there are only three things that require blood to prove.
Mm-hmm.
Horses, dogs, and Native Americans.
Yep.
And to prove that worth. And I have gone on and on and on about my thoughts about blood quantum and how it doesn't really define someone's identity. But in the grand retrospect, it connects you to a people. And I think even regardless, without that enrollment card, I'm still connected to my people. I also have, you know, certain cultural things that I have to follow through with as an Indigenous man,
mm-hmm.
even though I'm not living on quote unquote in Indigenous land, such as a reservation. I mean, the entire United States is Indigenous land. Let's be
yes.
real.
You don't need to skip that part or mumble it. Let's just say that again for the record books.
You are on Indian land yes. right now.
Yes.
And so I think it's important to carry that with me everywhere. I mean, I could talk all day, every day about the people that I grew up with
yeah.
and that really shaped me into the person I am. That's what I think about when I think about my tribe.
So being an enrolled member does reflect this legal requirement
yep.
of what is termed blood quantum, which measures by some magic amount. How does it work? Like, what is, do you have to go to the federal government and actually like submit a blood sample? Do the tribes self-regulate? Like, how does that work?
So I'll share my experience.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Thanks,
Dan.
So
I was born July 1984. My dad,
baby. I love it.
Baby. My dad held me for 15 minutes and then had to leave me behind and drive back home to the reservation to submit a pedigree.
Oh, my gosh.
Of blood to show ancestry to our tribal enrollment office to get enrollment, which would allow for the birth to be paid for by the tribe.
Wow.
And so that's normally in tribes all over. Have something different where they have to submit a pedigree or a blood certain quantum, whether it be 1/4 or
it's genealogical.
I can't even talk today, but there's some tribes that depending on the amount of blood depends on enrollment, or if it's like a like if your grandpa was Native American and certain blood quantum, you can be enrolled in a tribe. So it really depends on the tribe, but that's how it normally works. You don't submit it to the federal government, you submit it to the tribe.
To the tribe. We're going to come right back after these brief messages with Dan Terrio. We're talking about Native American intersectionality and intersectionality with our holiday that we all call Thanksgiving. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
News from the Center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Bay. Gets GA going slower.
IZERVAY or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Buddy Minute and an answer to the question, how often should I take my car in to get it serviced? As somebody who's worked on cars and knows a little bit about them, I admit that my instincts here are 100% wrong. I always want to say, oh, I'll just know when it's time. I'll feel it. But that's pretty hard to make a plan or a budget around. And my husband has made an honest car owner out of me by scheduling our maintenance on the calendar according to the book that everybody has and nobody reads, the manual in your glove compartment. Yep, even the motorheads over at CarTalk.com. Remember that old Car Talk radio show that was one of my favorites, you know, with Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers? They say that taking your car in on the schedule dictated by the people who made it is the best way to keep it in shape. So grab that manual. And if you want more tips on saving, head over to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. I'm joined by Dan Terrio, a Native American, a two-spirit person. We're going to get into all that. We're going to spend the first hour today talking about Native American heritage, intersectionality, what all of this means in sort of the Trump 2.0 space. We're going to get into all of that. In the second hour today, we're going to have some fun. We're going to lighten it up, talk about your holiday traditions. Dan and I are going to share some of ours, what we love about the holiday, maybe some things we're thankful for. I'll tell you what the difference between stuffing and dressing is.
I'm still really intrigued by this. This is something I didn't know.
Yes. Well, it's decidedly simple, but we'll explain it all. I love it when it sounds like a great big buildup. Dan, we were listening to some really cool music as we came back from break. Tell us who we were listening to. This was your
Nation.
Hallucination.
Yeah. So you notice
that. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they're Canadian. So Canada First Nations. They mix traditional Native American drum and singing with electronic dance beat. And it's just, I think the synergy works so well.
So cool.
And I'm sitting here bouncing in my seat.
Of course.
Even when I feel like I'm at a powwow or something, but it just love the tie-in, and it just really brings Native Americans into contemporary spaces, which I love.
Absolutely. Folks, if you want to see Dan bouncing in his seat, me bouncing along with him, you want to see Cardi bouncing along with all of us, you want to get in on that action, check us out on YouTube. We stream there on the Book of the Faces, on the thing that used to be called Twitter. And of course, follow me at Maggie Dawn Show on all of those platforms. You can find me on LinkedIn, Margaret Dawn, because, you know, that's a professional space. So it's Margaret Dawn there. Dan, right before we went to break, we were talking about this. It's a little bit of an old concept and old languaging, this blood quantum. In other words, the proportion of your blood that had to be identified as Native American in order to qualify in some instances for tribal membership and the benefits that would accrue as a tribal member. During the break, you were explaining something that I think is really important, because now some tribes not only use blood quantum, but may have either moved away from that or introduced as an additional potential qualifying metric, simply lineages. Yep. So the genealogical family background to establish tribal membership and enrollment. And you made a really interesting point about what the actual purpose of using a blood percentage measurement was, please share with everybody, because this is truly important.
Well, Maggie, I think it's pretty easy to understand. It was intended to basically wipe out Native Americans, to utilize this one drop rule as a means to really phase out tribes. And you actually can see tribal nations that have still utilized a blood quantum for determination of membership. Some of them have, whether it be a quarter, some of them have a half. In fact, one of the nations in the state of Wisconsin is the St. Croix Chippewa, had a half.
Meaning half of half your blood
quantum in order to be a member. And what they were finding, and it's a small tribe as is, 55% of their membership was 55. Almost half of their membership was 55 years or older.
Because of that high requirement,
threshold.
Yes.
And, you know, full transparency, my dad's Native American. My mom is German descent.
Yes.
So I am just at the cusp. So yeah. If I have children, I have to marry somebody from my tribe in order to be a member. So what the St. Croix tribe did, because they saw their bloodlines were dying out.
Yes.
And basically that wipes out and extinguishes the tribe, extincts them. They actually did what's referred to as a secretarial election, which they petitioned to the federal government to amend their constitution and bylaws. So tribal nations are sovereign nations. They have their own constitution, and they basically petitioned to the federal government to be able to amend their constitution. So they have to get that blessing from the federal government. It then goes before the tribal membership. They either vote or deny the movement, and then it proceeds forward. Now, in the case of the St. Croix, they went to more of a family line determination.
Mm-hmm. So genealogical.
So, for example, if my grandpa was Native American, it does not matter the percentage. I could be my dad, and then I could be put on to the roles, to the membership roles.
One way that I have talked about this, or certainly the construction that I've used to sort of simplify this, is you can look at any culture that has come onto a land, and generally speaking, the idea will be to force, request, or otherwise move people towards assimilation.
Yeah.
Right. That's the nice word for it. But assimilation often leads to elimination of any cultural remnants of that indigenous people's culture. And certainly as information has come out about, quote, Indian schools, and I'm air quoting that, right?
Yeah.
That was about assimilation to elimination. And of course, we now know that children died in these places.
Yes.
We have mass graves in Canada and in the United States. But I think that's, you know, this idea that there's some magic blood quantity that makes someone's identity is one, dangerous sort of in its own conception, but it was about elimination, right?
Yeah.
Assimilation to eliminate. Because if you partnered with someone who is not a First Nation person, you eventually would marry or partner your way out of your tribal culture, right?
Yes.
That's what ends up happening. Folks, this is Dan Terrio. He is my good friend and now yours. He is a enrolled member of the Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians of North Central Wisconsin. If you got questions for Dan, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We're going to take your questions and texts next. We're going to dive into some of the difficult disparities that we see for First Nation people and what that means for us on this Thanksgiving holiday. It is the second annual Dan and Maggie Thanksgiving extravaganza right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin congressman has some harsh criticism for the U.S. Department of Agriculture and their handling of the Pure Prairie Processing bankruptcy. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. Let me refresh your memory in case you don't recall that story. Pure Prairie Processing, a Minnesota-based poultry processing facility, filed bankruptcy and essentially closed its doors, leaving producers of the birds in Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin in the lurch, responsible for live birds that no longer had a market, and they were no longer getting funds to feed or take care of those birds. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden says USDA flat out dropped the ball.
The USDA has completely blown off Congress. It is absolutely inexcusable that they do this. So I am a member of Congress. I'm a member of the co-equal branch of government. And the USDA is responsible for giving about $50 million to a company that had failed several times before. They failed one more time, and we had about 3.5 million birds that were hanging out there in the lurch, of which the ones in Iowa and Minnesota were euthanized. And fortunately, our farmers were able to distribute the birds, their flocks, to folks. So it is completely unacceptable.
That's Wisconsin Congressman Darren Van Orden. He says he is going to continue to investigate what should have been done to protect producers from the Pure Prairie Processing bankruptcy. And he said, as far as USDA Ag Secretary Vilsack leaving, he said, good riddance.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. And let's hope that our deer hunters have more success over the Thanksgiving break. The Wisconsin DNR said we've harvested about 89,203 deer as of opening weekend. That's down about 2% compared to last year, down about 5% compared to our five-year average. 49,038 antler deer harvested, 40,165 antlerless deer taken as of the weekend. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today with highs in the mid-30s. As more clouds build in tonight, temperatures fall to near 20. And for tomorrow, winds start to whip, creating blustery wind chills. Highs won't climb above freezing tomorrow, and they slide to highs struggling to hit 20 for the weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Thanksgiving show. We'll give you some updates on the season and also some best ofs of the year. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Yeah!
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to a little electronic dance music blended, melded, catalyzed off of some Native American music out of Canada. I am Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to every one of you. We've got our second annual Dan and Maggie Thanksgiving Festivus for the best of all of us, to bring out the best of all of us. Dan, tell everybody again the group that we're listening to in this music on the in and outros.
So that was the Hallucinate. Is my mic on?
Hang on. Let's make sure everybody can hear you. Now try again.
Hallucination. Oh, yes, yeah, there I am.
There you
okay,
are.
Yeah, Hallucination from Canada.
And they used to be called a pretty cool name.
A Tribe Called Red.
Which, I love me some Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
They probably were told to cease and desist with But Hallucination out of Canada.
I do like that.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Really great music. Hope you at home and in the car and wherever you are enjoying. Remember, I come to you from the WAUK 540 AM across all of southeastern Wisconsin. But you can hear me and all of the amazing talk show lineup from Civic Media on your favorite Civic Media radio local station that does some of our talk. And if you don't know what that is, go get yourself that free Civic Media app from your favorite app store, and you can find your favorite local station, or you can just pick AUK and listen to me there. We also, of course, have the WAUK merch and all Civic Media radio station networks, their merch, all at the Civic Media store. You can find that by going to civicmedia.us. In the top right-hand corner, there's a store. You can get you some merch. It is the holiday season. I recommend the AUK, but I might be a little partial to the southeastern Wisconsin vibe. I am from here. It is my home skillet. But again, all of your favorite stations merch all at the Civic Media merch store. Dan, I wanted to ask you this baseline question before we get into the importance of Native American History Month. It is the question that every non-Indigenous person wants to ask an Indigenous person here in North America, at least in the United States, is, do you celebrate Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yes.
However, it's not
complicated.
It's complicated because, and I think it's a good way of putting it. I think, so we do celebrate Thanksgiving. I think they're, depending on also the tribal nation as well, it's not lost on us what this day is about.
Right.
And what has gone on, but I think it also has took on a different meaning, mm-hmm. family to family and tribal communities, on the meaning of being thankful for something.
Yes.
And so, the answer that everybody was hoping for or was just curious about, yes, we do celebrate Thanksgiving.
Well, and I think like so much in our cultural history in these United States of America, it's complicated,
mm-hmm.
right? And anybody that tells you it's not, either don't know or they're fibbing to you. And this, too, is complicated. On that same note, and I want to get into why Native American History Month is really important, but I got a couple of questions from our amazing callers who make me smarter every day, callers and texters. If you want to get in on the convo with Dan and I, you got questions. There's no wrong question except the one that goes unasked. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This from my good friend Cam in Appleton. I feel I'm pretty certain that I may be part First Nation. What is the recommended way to find out about that or to trace that? How would I go about knowing?
I mean, I think there's so many different ways that you can look to see what your family history is. I think 23andMe, and there's all these different
things. That's a good starting spot.
It's a good start, especially if, you know, there's a story within your family about some sort of Native American roots.
Yes.
I think that's a good way of really finding out where those roots might be, the tribal nation. And then the thing to keep in mind that tribes from across the country have really worked on their historical preservation piece. So you can reach out to any of these tribes just to learn more. But that's where you want to start, is kind of digging in with the family stories on where this, you know, the tribal roots might be, and then doing maybe 23andMe or doing some outreach. And then from there, reaching out to these tribes that have very robust historical preservation departments and learning more about the culture. That would be the best way of starting.
Thanks so much, Dan.
It's a good question.
Yeah, isn't it? Thanks so much, Cam. Always good to hear from you. Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Steve texting in from the 608. Do any of the tribes have programs to teach non-Indigenous people about their culture and about tribal ways, especially if we might want to integrate some of those tribal ways and beliefs into our own lives? Thanks so much, Steve. What a thoughtful question.
That is a very, very good question. So they don't have any type of specific outreach per se. However, like I'm going to use my tribe as an example. We have a library and museum that is open to the public. That people
Where is it, Dan?
It is on my reservation in Bowler, Wisconsin. And
can
so
we go on a road trip and like do a show from up there?
Yeah, I'm sure we could totally do that.
I am loving this idea.
And to go through, and you can see kind of the journey. The Mohican people came from the East Coast.
From the New Yorker.
Into where we're currently at in northern Wisconsin. So those are open to the public. Our powwows are open to the public as well. So going and learning about the regalia, the dancing, the drumming, the food. The food is the best. And so I think that's an easy way of really learning about the different Indigenous nations. I do want to point out as well, especially in terms of the public school education here in the state of Wisconsin, there's actually a mandate to teach on the Wisconsin Native American tribes here in the state. And so we have fourth graders learning about all of the tribes that are here, especially, you know, from the Oneida to the Menominee, the Ho-Chunk, Potawatomi. List can really go on. And so it's already integrated into our public schools as a mandated form of education.
It's about time.
It's about time.
By the way, Dan, is that CRT?
I mean, depending on who's asking, but no, CRT is a legal theory.
Yes. So just for the record, y'all, I want to get this real clear. If you don't know what CRT is, stop talking about it. OK, because CRT is a basically master's level, certainly only suitable for undergraduate sort of analytical framework to assess systems, legal systems, especially in the United States. CRT has nothing to do with teaching kids accurate, fulsome American history.
And I do want to point out, too, there are different forms of CRT as well. So, for example, there is a tribal CRT that really focuses on the relationship between government, law, and the sovereignty of indigenous tribes. And so there are different forms of CRT, but what you hear, especially talking about American history, different cultural history, that is not CRT.
It's history.
It's history.
Which brings us to Native American History Month. Yes. You see how I did that there, Dan?
That was such a good tie-in. Props to you, Maggie. Love that.
Please, why is it, first of all, I think it's incredibly symbolic and very important that we celebrate Native American History Month in the month that we also celebrate Thanksgiving. Not an accident there.
No.
And just a note, callers, if you are there, Joe, I see you. We are going to get to you. But I did want to, Dan, start with this. Why is this month, why is it important for fourth graders, for everybody, especially in a place like Wisconsin, to be exposed to Native American or First Nation culture and history and to know a little bit about this?
The simple answer is, the perception is that Native Americans died a long time ago, that we're not here. We're not no longer thriving. But the reality is we're here. We are thriving and we are resilient people. We're more than just casinos.
Yes.
That's a big assumption right there, is that that's basically the only remnants of indigenous tribes that are here. So this month is a lot about understanding what got this people, what got us to where we're at now.
Yes.
And to respect the journey that got us here, but also to respect what we're doing in our country now.
Yes.
And I think that's so important. But the other flip side of this, too, is representation and the power of that. Native Americans represent less than 1% of the United States workforce. And so that representation is not there.
Yeah.
And when representation is not there, voices are lost. And so that's what this month is about, is to really celebrate this unique culture that is a race. There's people that believe that Native Americans are not a race. I've had discussions about this and I'd go back and forth on it. So I want to make sure that that's out there. But this month is about honoring and celebrating the rich culture of the tribes of this country. And that's important.
Couldn't agree more. Joe from Madison. Cardi's going to put you on because my mouse isn't working, so I can't do it. Let's open up the line. Joe from Madison. Cardi, can you? Oh, there we are. Joe from Madison. Thank you for your patience. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. What would you like to say or ask?
I would like you two to have a series of shows. This is a fascinating show, fascinating topic. And it is interesting to me that you said that now children in the state of Wisconsin are being given instruction about Native American heritage in the tribes within the state. I would argue that most of us out of school are pretty clueless about it, that we couldn't name the number of tribes that are here, and understanding that there are different bands within a tribe and what that means. Or the important question to me that is just so evocative and so it really tugs at my heartstrings is the idea that people within the Native American culture belong to two nations, and that they can be flying the flag of a Ho-Chunk equal to the United States flag, and that's not a political statement as in I'm pushing this against you, but it is a statement of fact. They are members of two separate nations, and what that means in our state and how rich and how beautiful that is. I would encourage you guys to go around to the different reservations and do some shows. I think that would be just fascinating. And I would like to speak to you, Dan. I understand when you're talking about what gives you your lineage is blood. I know a friend who is a member of the Muscogee tribe, often called the Creek tribe in the past, and the membership there is completely based on a commission called the Dawes Commission that listed people who were members of what were called the five civilized tribes down in the South. So it isn't blood so much as can you find a grandpa, a great grandpa, a great grandma who was listed on that. So for you, Dan, I had one question. I'm overcome with questions. This is such a rich, important topic, and I'm so glad you're here to talk with Maggie about it. And I really hope that you can come again and again because there's so many questions to ask. My question is, can you talk as we're looking at Thanksgiving, what that means to you to be a member of two different nations, the United States and your tribal nation? I'd be very interested. Thanks a lot, Dan, and thanks, Maggie.
The callers are better than anything I could ever do. Thank you, Joe.
We're kind of getting a little emotional here.
And there's some misty eyes in the studio.
That was beautiful. So to answer your question, what does that mean to be basically a member of two tribes, being an American and being a indigenous person? It's something that I haven't really thought about, you know, and I think that, you know me pretty good. I can speak on a fly about some of these things, and it kind of takes you back to really pause. I think from the moment I was born, I've had my parents raise me to walk in two worlds, the Native world and the non-Native world. And understanding, you know, I was born with a privilege of having light skin, that I will never be racially profiled like my dad was raising two light-skinned kids. But also this being indigenous and having to uphold those cultural traditions of being an indigenous man and balancing the two. And so for me, it's that thankfulness of having a rich identity to be able to see things from many different angles, seeing it from the indigenous side, but also the non-indigenous side, and being able to bring those intersects together, which I think is so important in the conversation. It kind of also goes into the fact that people can be multiple races and identities, which we don't talk too much about. And given the most recent political cycle and the conversation there, people get uncomfortable about that people can be multiple races.
And here's, I'll just jump in because we've got to do some business, but I just want to say this, what Dan is describing and what people who are members of two nations or have different identity groups, don't you want that full tapestry of what makes us American in these very deep ways? It is the intersection of culture, all of those things. That is the gift that it is to be American. Who wants to deprive their children of that? Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're on the line, stay there. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Happy Thanksgiving Eve, y'all.
News from the center, WRCE.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Friday. The Badgers battle the Gophers for Paul Bunyan's axe. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE. It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
There are so many songs about Christmas. The reindeer, the lights and the gifts. We sing chestnuts are roasting and marshmallows toasting, and here comes old jolly Saint Nick. Now don't get me wrong, I sure love all those songs, but one holiday gets left out. You see, no one remembers a song for November, but that's gonna change starting now.
One, two, three, four.
Gobble, gobble, one. Gobble, gobble, two. Gobble, gobble me. Gobble, gobble you.
Gobble, gobble you. Happy Thanksgiving Eve, y'all. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the Maggie Dan second annual pre-Thanksgiving celebration. I'm joined by my good friend and First Nation enrolled member of the Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians of North Central Wisconsin, Dan Terrio. We're talking about Native American heritage, the intersection, the interplay between American, I'm going to put air quotes around American traditions and Native American traditions. We've had some absolutely fabulous callers and texters, and I'm going to go to the Book of Faces to pull some of those comments as well. If you want to get in on the action before we run out of time, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And starting in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to be having some fun. You've got favorite recipes you want to share, favorite Thanksgiving memories, traditions, your favorite holiday films that you like to start cracking open over the Thanksgiving weekend. You got your favorite recipe for the deep fried turkey or the turducken. We're going to get to all that in the 3 o'clock hour. Very briefly off Facebook, my friend Tony sharing for Steve, I believe the Bad River Tribe is offering classes to teach people Ojibwe because so very few people speak it anymore. My friend Tom, just informing students about the various tribes is a step in the right direction. Here, here, John weighing in, also on the U of the Tube. November is my favorite month. Much respect to all Native Americans. Sean also texting in. What's up, Sean? I'm part Native American, Hawaiian, Filipino, and Caucasian born and raised in Hawaii. I believe I may also be Cherokee. A relative of mine is Powhatan Ellis. Very cool. I'm not sure Dan's mic is on. So
I don't know.
There we are.
Oh, there we are.
Oh,
yay. Okay. Yay.
Well, it's a good thing I had some business to take care
of. I know.
Sherry from Horicon saying hello. Greetings to you, Sherry from Horicon. Susan from McFarland, go right ahead. Say hello to Dan. What's your comment or question?
Hi, Dan. What a great show you're having today. I really appreciate it. I just wanted to remind the listeners that there's a really good documentary that just came out called Bad River, which is an amazing documentary talking about the Bad River Band of the Ojibwa and their fight to keep their land and keep growing, and also talks about Line 5. And the other thing is that, let's see, lost my train. My train went off the rails.
Oh, that's all right. Oh, that happens to me all the time, Susan.
Free Leonard Peltier. I want everybody to send a message to Joe Biden to free Leonard Peltier. He's been in prison far too long. He never should have been there. And that would be a historical conversation to have on one of your shows about Leonard Peltier.
Thanks, Susan. Dan, do you want to let everybody know who Leonard is?
This is a blind spot for me, but I'll give you as much as I can. The founder of the American Indian Movement was incarcerated due to some of the advocacy. I believe.
Okay.
That's all I can really mention about that.
Hey, everybody's Googling Leonard Peltier right now, so we're all getting smarter. We'll do a show on it. I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it next week. Cindy from Appleton, happy early Thanksgiving to you. What do you have to say? What's your comment or question?
Well, I have a few things. First of all, there are 11 recognized tribes in the state of Wisconsin, and I have been part of the group trying to get the Brothertown Nation federally recognized again. They are not bands of Native Americans. They are clans, and they have clans and subclans. The show that you have on your station at night with Robert Pilot is all about Native American issues, so people could listen to that. And there are hundreds of good books out there about the Orphan Train, I believe, is one of them, about the Indian boarding schools and the way the people were treated with the way the treaties were not honored back in the early days. I mean, all you have to do is just Google stuff, and you can find books and all kinds of information about getting educated on how our country has just annihilated and been just as bad as Hitler with the Jews when it comes to the Native Americans.
Thank you so much, Cindy. I just want to give you an opportunity to reflect on that, Dan, because I think what Cindy's talking about is so important. There was a couple of things in there, right? Like what U.S. governmental policy has been, breaching of treaties. Also, maybe you could start with, and we just have about a minute, if you could just give us your thoughts about language when it surrounds Native American issues. Cindy was pointing out that some Native First Nation people prefer to be referred to as clans. Some explicitly adopt the use of the word bands. Others, again, Native Americans, still in U.S. legal documents, American Indian. If you could just address that.
So it's a verbiage, basically, and kind of how it works. And in terms of the clans versus bands, I think it ties together very well. Like in our tribe, we have four different clans, the wolf, turkey, turtle, and fox. I think I'm right there. But it depends on tribal nations. It goes from tribe to tribe. And I think that's so important to do the research, because something that may be different to Midwest tribes might be different to our East Coast friends. I was just in the Wampanoag tribe of the Gayhead-Aquinna a couple weeks ago. Beautiful, beautiful tribal nation in Massachusetts. And the language that they have is very different than, say, your Midwest tribes or your West Coast tribes. And, the question we get all the time is it Native American, American Indian, First Nations, Indigenous? And that's really left up to each individual or tribal nation. For me, it's about acknowledging the stories, the heritage, all of those pieces. That's the most important piece.
Come with a humble and curious heart. Mean well. And that's the point.
Yes, absolutely.
My thanks to Dan Terrio. I'm sure throughout the show today, if you have more questions or comments, Dan and I will be happy to take them. 855-75-CIVIC. But when we come back, we dig into the fun stuff about Halloween, the easy light things, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. News, weather, and sports are next.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, John and Gordy from the John and Gordy Show. It's usually at 6 a.m. in Madison. Fill it in for Dom. I'm certain Thanksgiving a little early. James Santel and Dr. Tim Slucker will be guests. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.